We get stood up in our interview with John C. Dvorak.
We talk about the new MacBooks.
We also give away our JanSport backpack.
All this and more, Podcast 82.
The next generation of radio. It's the MyMac.com podcast. Podcasting from the MyMac.com studios, it's your hosts, Tim Robertson and Chad Perry.
Hey, everybody, it's MyMac 82. Boy, it's 82 already. We're just kind of chugging along, aren't
yes,
we?
Yes, we are.
Week by week. Yeah, it looks like we're probably not going to interview our buddy, our pal, John Dvorak, because he's not responding to his email.
Right.
He gets no spam, though.
Gets no spam.
I think you're...
Yeah, I know.
Did it?
Yeah.
Anyways, so, you know, it happens. What are you going to do?
Yep.
He's a busy guy.
Press on and keep doing the podcast.
Let's just move along, folks. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
We do have Sergeant Perry in the studio going to answer a question. It was an email question, and I'll simply read the question to him and let him answer it here in a little while. Excuse me. And we also have our winner for our JanSport.com contest.
We're going to do that now?
I don't know.
Call, or you want to wait till
Well, you
the
know,
news?
Skype, the Skype thing, did you see the news about Skype?
No.
It's Skype out. It's when you use your Skype account on your computer. You can actually call landlines.
Oh, brilliant.
But it's free now.
Cool.
Only within, like, North America.
Still, I mean, call anywhere in the U.S. and Canada for
it's
free,
for free
on, your
on your computer. Exactly.
Oh, there. That's going to be killing the phone
that's
companies.
Pretty, yeah. And actually, I think some senator or something's trying to propose a levy against it.
I'm like, yeah.
Oh, we have to protect our infrastructure. You remember, wasn't it just like 10 years ago, every commercial on television was like, switch to AT&T or switch to MCI. We've got the cheapest long-distance plan. Where are those commercials anymore?
Gone.
I don't see those.
No.
Everybody uses cell phones now, and there's no such thing as long-distance calls. It's just airtime.
Well, and a lot of them have reconglomerated into one big mass.
Yeah, it's
again,
one.
So.
Yeah, it's so much for. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, I if I'm going to call long distance, I either try to wait until after 7 or 9 p.m. Then all my airtime is free, or the weekend when all my airtime is free.
Yep.
Plus, I get like 1,500 minutes a month on my cell phone, which is
yeah.
Just like
how long
ungodly.
Do you actually talk on a cell phone? Anyways?
Actually,
you conduct a lot more.
But. I'm seriously thinking about getting rid of my landline. I mean, I just don't see the point in it anymore. I mean, maybe I will get 2 or 3 phone calls a day, tops. Yeah. And one of them is, I had one before I came over here tonight. Hi, Tim, how are you doing? And of course, you know, I'm like, yeah, fine. Well, hey, this is John. I'm calling for the Firefighters Union and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And we're really hoping for your support this year.
I put my money in the boot, thanks.
Yeah I'm like, dude... Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scam.
It is.
They're scams.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that they're scams. I used to be when I was a mail delivery, when I worked for the post office, I should say, as mailman, one of the places on my route at the time was where we dropped off all the, I mean, it would be a big stack of envelopes every day, and it was for the Firefighters Union. And, I asked, I said, so you guys work for the fire department? Well, no, we're a professional fundraising organization, blah, 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 blah. I said, and the lady I was talking to in there, she was pretty young. I said, honestly, how much actually goes? Oh, well, usually no more than 5%, but... So that's how they get away with it. And I'm like, 95% of every dollar they make goes to them.
Sure.
I'm like, give me a break. Anyways, let's
and the 5% they give to the firefighters, they write off in their tax. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but this is a Mac show,
as
people are wont to point out. So, let's get into some Mac news. Most of the news that I scammed today came from MacMinute.com.
Your up-to-date Mac news in a minute.
I had told Stan over at MacMinute not to post a link or post news that a new show is out because our bandwidth was just simply killing us.
Yeah.
We had too many people downloading the show, but I'm thinking about saying, hey, go ahead and post a link so, you know, new people can find us. What's the big news this week, Chad?
Apple announces the new 13-inch MacBook.
Woohoo!
Apple today unveiled the newly designed MacBook with a new 13-inch glossy widescreen display, which the company says is up to 5 times faster than the iBook and up to 4 times faster than the 12-inch PowerBook.
Together with the 15 and 17-inch MacBook Pros, the new MacBook completes Apple's Intel-based portable lineup and replaces both the iBook and the 12-inch PowerBook. Apple's entire portable line now offers Intel Core Duo processors, a built-in EyeSight video camera for video conferencing on the go, like someone sitting in a train video conferencing. It's front-row media experience with Apple Remote, because if the laptop is sitting on your lap four inches away, you'd still need that remote to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And several advanced features, including DVI with dual display support, optical digital audio input and output, gigabit Ethernet, sudden motion sensor, something's moving, scrolling trackpad, and MagSafe power adapter. Prices start at $10.99, and that's not $10.99 either.
No. Apple today also increased processor speeds on both models of a 15-inch MacBook Pro. The $24.99 model now includes a 2.16 GHz Intel Core Duo processor, up from 2 GHz, and the $1,999 model now includes a 2 GHz Intel Core Duo processor, up from the 1.83 GHz.
Beginning today, the MacBook Pro also offers new glossy widescreen displays as a build-to-order option on both the 15 and 17-inch models at no additional costs.
Dum-dum-dum.
Glossy display. Dum-dum-dum. That's a manly sounding...
Glossy.
Glossy.
We like the glossy.
As a matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, Sarge?
What?
Okay. Hey, Sarge, we got an email for you, and it's specifically about the new glossy displays, and it's from Alan. And Alan writes, "Hey Sarge, what's up with the new glossy screens on the eyeless MacBooks?" Let me try reading that again, Sarge. I'm sorry. "What's up with the new glossy screens on the eyeless MacBooks? What is a glossy screen? Thanks, Alan."
Well, first of all, do I know you? What is this "Hey Sarge" crapola? You will refer to me as Sergeant, not Sarge. Are we clear, mister? Second, as for this glossy screen on the new MacBook, oh, this is just fan-friggin-tastic if you ask me. I think it's about time Apple put a glossy screen in their computer. Why not simply bring back the Barbie purse iBook while they're at it? Add in a glossy screen, a lipstick holder, put a leather strap on it, and call it what it really is. Glossy screens! Who wants to look at themselves using their computer all day long? Our Macintosh users so enamored with themselves, think they are so cool that they must have the trendy little computers, and so they can actually look at themselves while they're working?
And that's Sergeant Perry's take on the glossy screens on the new MacBooks. Thanks, Sarge. What's the next thing we got here? It's Apple updates its iLife 06 applications.
Apple today released new updates to its iLife applications. The updates include
iDVD update 2.0.6, which addresses issues with burning some 16.9 projects and overall stability.
iWeb 1.1 adds comment and search support for blogs and podcasts published to .Mac. It also addresses a variety of usability and performance issues for all users, including image management fixes to improve site load performance.
iPhoto 603, and that addresses issues with photocasting of smart albums, sharing iPhoto libraries, and creating calendars and books. It also addresses a number of other minor issues.
iMovie HD 6.0.2 addresses issues with PAL audio and displaying iLife sound effects automatically in its Life Media browser.
It also improves overall stability and addresses a number of other minor issues. So, we've got, from everything I've been reading, the iWeb 1.1 update is really the big one. It's taken the program to probably where it should have been when it was first released.
Yeah,
I think iWeb 1.0 was a little bit, not quite there.
Clunky?
Yeah, well, not just clunky. It just it it was missing some key features, and so the new one, 1.1, put a lot of those. I mean, it was like a 94 megabyte download. I mean, it was pretty big for just an update, but it is a 0.1 update. It's not like it's a 0.0 as in all the other ones. Apple also released the Intel Mac firmware updates.
Apple has issued firmware updates for its Intel-based Macs. These include iMac early 2006, SMC firmware update, MacBook Pro update, and the Mac Mini update.
Apple says all these updates addresses intermediate boot issues. I don't have any of those machines, so I can't, you know, say, oh, that's good. Of course, you know, it wouldn't be a Macintosh podcast for us if a month did not go by in which we talk about another lawsuit Apple is involved in.
You know, we just cleaned up two of these.
I mean, Apple just beat Apple.
Yeah.
You know, so this one is Creative Files complaints against Apple.
So, Creative Technology has filed a complaint with the U.S. International Trade Commission against Apple for patent issues, reports MarketWatch.
Creative has asked the commission to look at whether Apple is in violation through its importation and sales after importation into the United States of iPods and iPod Nanos that infringe U.S. patent 6,928,433, which Creative refers to as the Zen patent, notes the report.
The company also filed a lawsuit against Apple in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California that seeks an injunction and increased damages for Apple's willful infringement of the Zen patent.
Creative's new, I guess, their new business strategy is, you know, no one's buying our crappy little MP3 player. Let's sue Apple.
If you can't beat them, sue them.
If you can't beat them, sue them. And, you know, there's a lot of companies that do that, unfortunately. And, Apple's so popular, and they're doing real well, and they're right off there on the firing line. So I totally understand that. If my company sucked and I made a product similar to Apple's and Apple's kicking my butt, yeah, why not sue them? Lawyers aren't. It's not going to cost you any more money to sue Apple than you're going to lose in your sales anyway, so what the hell. From PlaylistMag.com, which is the iPod magazine for Macworld.
Yep. MTV and software giant Microsoft will launch the Urge Music Store this week as part of the Windows Media Player 11 public beta. The service will not be compatible with the Macintosh and, more importantly, Apple's market-leading iPod.
Well, Urge.
I don't have the urge to use it, that's for sure.
Urge. Our new service is so cool, we call it Urge. I'm waiting for the commercials for this. I think Sergeant Perry should do a Urge commercial. Wouldn't that be just a natural, I think?
Oh, yeah, it could be.
Maybe we should
see if we can get a hold of some reels. Maybe he's already cut some for him.
Yeah, he could. We could try asking him sometime. Definitely.
It'd be worth it. Yeah.
Ah, some cool news. I got this one off of I don't know, Mac website.
Yeah.
Symantec CEO says, buy a Mac.
Wow.
Yeah.
Symantec CEO John Thompson, in response to a question about Macs posed during the Future in Review conference on Monday, said, we think more people ought to buy them. However, while Windows offers a target-rich environment for malicious activity, hackers and virus writers could turn their attention to Macs if Apple ups its market share, he noted.
Yeah. I'm sure it's the only reason that there's really no viruses or adware or any of that crap for the Mac is because of a low market share. I'm sorry, if you are a hacker and you write viruses and all that kind of crap, and you wanted to get a lot of attention right now.
Oh, yeah, you'd write a Mac.
Yeah, because nobody else has. That would make you famous. Instead, what's Entourage doing here for you?
Nah, nothing.
Nothing. No email from John Shane Dvorak.
No.
Not that I'm bitter or anything. I mean, you know, he's a busy
mildly,
guy.
Sure.
I'm mildly
perturbed.
A little bit. I mean, you know, we announced it on the last show. We're going to have John C. Dvorak. He's agreed. We gave him the date. We gave him the time.
Yeah.
And he's nowhere to be found.
So oh, well.
What are you going to do? So right now we have no interviews lined up, and we are almost out of news. We do have our contest winner that we got to go to, and we also have a little bit more news, and this one is actually pretty cool. The iTunes Music Store on Tuesday added programming from the Discovery Communications, which covers the Learning Channel Animal Planet, Travel Channel, Disney Health Channel, and Discovery Kids. As with other TV shows on the iTunes Music Store, episodes are $1.99 each.
TV shows added include World's Best National Park Short Files and Passport to Europe from Travel Channel.
Amazing Babies and Pregnancies. Pregnancy for Dummies.
From Discovery Health.
What in the hell is Pregnancy for Dummies?
Oh, boy.
That's kind of...
Well, you watch Cops, you tell me.
Well, you got a good point there. So that's probably a large market share for Pregnancy for Dummies.
Yeah.
Amazing Babies and Pregnancy for Dummies. Is that the name of the whole show? Amazing Babies and Pregnancy for Dummies.
That's two different shows, I think. That's from Discovery Health.
I would hope so, because that's just the dumbest name in the world.
Well, here's the next one. Kenny the Shark and Save-Ems from Discovery Kids.
Yeah. Mythbusters, one of my favorite shows. And Shark Week from Discovery Channel.
And Most Extreme and Breed All About It from Animal Planet.
Discovery is also offering Vignettes. As free podcasts, including footage from Discovery Channel's Deadliest Catch and TLC's Shalom in the Home. I actually watched an episode of that, Shalom in the Home.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's...
You like Rabbi Shmuley?
It was kind of interesting. I'm not Jewish, but...
Yeah.
To me, it just seemed like very basic knowledge. I mean, I think a mother and a daughter were... A husband and a wife were arguing too much, and the little girl was very upset about it, and he basically told him, stop arguing in front of your kids. Duh.
Well, as a little aside, since we're... Whatever.
Yeah. We're out there anyway.
Does it frustrate you as a parent? Because I know how you were in your household. Does it frustrate you to watch, like, The Nanny?
No, because some of those people, Well, it's frustrating in that their kids are already at that stage. It's right. Like, oh, my God. But by the same token, I'm glad that this show is addressing it.
Right.
In that they send these nannies out to slap people around, basically. That's really what she's doing. She's out there saying, you're doing a horrible job, and here's how you really do it.
Right.
There was a episode of South Park just a couple weeks ago.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I'd have seen it. That was
where Cartman's mom is finally fed up. She can't control him. He basically runs the household, so she brings in the nannies, and because there's two of those nanny shows on.
Yeah.
The first nanny comes in, and she leaves the house running and screaming. The next one comes in. She's committed to an insane asylum.
Mm-hmm.
So she finally brings in, on the advice of, I don't know, somebody, the Dog Whisperer.
Yeah.
And I've never seen the Dog Whisperer show, but I heard it was pretty cool, where this guy just basically trains dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just hilarious. I mean, the dog trainer is the one that actually breaks Eric Cartman. I laughed almost all the way through that. I know a lot of our listeners either have never seen South Park or are very offended by it. But that's what I like so much about it. It is so offensive.
And yeah.
That's just my sensibilities most of the time. I can't help it. I'm just a dumb American. And I say that because a lot of our listeners aren't Americans.
True.
You know? This is not an American Mac show. This is just a Mac show. Yeah. Mac users are all over the world. And so is our website. We've got a lot of writers from all over the world. So we actually have three, believe it or not, we have three new writers coming on board.
You're kidding.
Over the next couple weeks, yep.
Right.
Probably two of them will be posted up tomorrow.
Mm.
And one of them may or may not be doing some audio stuff for the podcast.
Cool.
I don't want to get into too much detail until we actually debut him on the website, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's somebody that's written to us a few times, and I basically had sent him an email, said it's time to put up or shut up. You keep sending all these emails, start writing. You've got the talent, you've got the ideas, let's see what you can do. And I wasn't being derogatory either, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
And he agreed, and we've talked a few times on the phone, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do.
Cool.
So, a lot of new stuff happening up at MyMac.com. We'll look into all that. We'll phone our winner for the Jan Sports music bag. It's a really cool prize. We're not going to have a contest this week. We could. There's actually a couple companies that want to do the contest with us, and that's always cool when someone comes to us and says, hey, you know, we've been listening to your podcast. I see that you guys are giving away cool stuff. Can we give some stuff away on your podcast? That's cool, and I want to continue to do that, just not every week.
Right.
I mean, after a while, it kind of loses a little bit of its luster if you give away stuff every... every week, and we don't want to do that. But we definitely want to call our winner, and we'll get to that after we take a little bit of a break and listening to John Nemo and Guy Searle.
Maybe you see people listening to their iPods, white earbuds dangling from their ears, and maybe you don't have an iPod yet because you don't see yourself as that type of person. So are you the type that has a CD player or a six-disc changer in your car? Heck with that. Don't limit yourself. Enjoy your entire CD collection anytime, all smushed into a tiny little iPod. Your iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Plug your iPod into your car stereo or home stereo and take it with you when you travel. No matter where you go, your music collection goes with you. iPods are easy to use and easy to import your music from your CD collection. Talk to us about this if you need help. iPod is your personal portable jukebox. Oh, it's a beautiful thing enjoying today's technologies. This is Dawn from Small Dog Electronics, New England's largest Apple specialist. Come see us in our Small Dog showroom in Waitsfield, Vermont, or on the web at smalldog.com. Small Dog, where you'll find high technology for low prices.
You're listening to the Dashboard Minute, heard exclusively right here on the MyMac.com podcast.
Please hang up and try again.
Hi, everyone. I'm Guy Searle, and I would like to welcome you again to the Dashboard Minute. I've got two widgets today for those who enjoy making lists or keeping track of today's tech stories. Widget number one is called the QEXP. I'm not making that up. QUEXP widget, and it's for those people who are so list-oriented that they would go to the trouble to fire up their Mac, go to Dashboard, open a widget, and type in their stuff that was important enough to do all the things I just mentioned. Seems like a lot of work for a simple list. This widget, however, does a bit more than just that. It also allows you to list the price of the item and keep a running total of all the prices for each item. You can title the list by month and choose from a number of different currencies. Adding items to the list when done by month will list the day the item was entered. You can easily change the month with a handy plus and minus button on the top of the widget, and can, with the push of another button, enter the items on your list into the clipboard for dropping into any document creation program outside of Dashboard. No internet connectivity is required for this widget to operate. Not a bad widget, but I have to gig it in two areas. First, there is no quantity category for each list item, making its use somewhat questionable for creating, say, a grocery list. And secondly, there is no way to print your list without saving it to the clipboard and opening it up in another program. This extra step takes away some of the functionality that, in my opinion, most people would want for something like this. Find the QUEXP widget at the author's website at www.isizl.com. Next up is another pointer widget for a tech website that is very popular with the geek and not so geeky crowd, dig.com. For those of you who don't know what dig.com is, it's a website that posts the top tech stories of the day with kind of a twist. The people that actually read the stories can determine which stories are important enough to have on the opening page and which will just kind of languish a little farther back. The site also allows you to choose certain categories of stories you would like to read, and Apple is one of those to choose from. A very nice site and worth it for those interested in tech news. Of course, none of this is important as far as widgets go, so I'll return to the Dig widget. The Dig widget was created by the people at Omnimus Orb, and what it does is go out to the Dig site and return with all the stories on the front page. You can choose either just the headlines or have a little more information on each story displayed within the widget. You can also select from the available categories on the back side of the widget, and those stories are brought in. My only complaint is that this is another one of those widgets that, once you click on it, takes you out of Dashboard and into your favorite web browser to display the entire story. I've said this before, if a widget is displaying content from a website, the text from the story should be displayed within the widget with the option of going to the site instead of that being the default. They do, however, give you a little more besides the headline, so I suppose I shouldn't complain so much. Obviously, internet connectivity is needed for this widget to work, and a broadband connection will make things go much smoother. The Dig widget can be found at the Omnimus Orb website at, now listen carefully, www.orb.etl.myfxh.com. And, of course, I will be kind and include a link at the MyMac.com homepage. It can also be found at all the usual sites like Apple's dashboard download page and versiontracker.com. Oh me, oh my, another Dashboard Minute is over. I knew it would happen, but I didn't realize it could be so soon. If you have a favorite widget you would like me to talk about, send me email to dbminute@gmail.com. I appreciate you not skipping past, and I hope you'll do it again next time on the Dashboard Minute on the MyMac.com podcast.
If you're a Mac user and you need a hosting service for your website, why would you want to host your site on anything else but a Macintosh? Anotech has been hosting the MyMac.com website for over 7 years, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Are they the cheapest web hosting company in the world? No. Do they offer the largest amount of server space or bandwidth in the world? Of course not. But with Anotech, you don't get pie-in-the-sky false promises, just the best customer service, the most popular hosting service plans, and everything running on the latest Apple Macintosh server gear. Check them out at www.inotech.com/mymac for special pricing. That's www.inno-tech.com/mymac. Inotech, the trusted web server of mymac.com for over 7 years. That's like 49 dog years.
There's something up my sleeve in this edition of Reviews You Can Use that won't make you snooze on the MyMac.com podcast. There are two different approaches to the MacBook Pro or the PowerBook sleeve, which is an inner case that would go inside your briefcase or attaché case or backpack or suitcase to protect your valuable laptop from any exceptional shocks or exterior damage. From MaxUpgrades.com comes the Max Protect 2 for the MacBook Pro 15-inch. It costs $39. You order it directly from MaxUpgrades.com. What it is, it's a very finely constructed leatherette attaché case that more or less exactly fits the form factor of your PowerBook or your MacBook Pro. And you close it shut, snap the two snaps, just like you would on an old-fashioned suitcase or briefcase. You can carry it around by the handle, or you can put it inside your backpack or your briefcase or your suitcase to protect it very, very carefully. It's sleek, it's attractive, you can't put much of anything else in it, but it will look great when you walk into your meeting, and it will certainly protect your computer. From ChromeBags.com, that's ChromeBags.com, comes a padded laptop sleeve in a very heavy-duty gray nylon, ballistic nylon material with a Velcro opener and closer, a little cloth handle. You can buy a unpadded shoulder strap if you want, and it serves exactly the same purpose to protect your MacBook Pro or your PowerBook. I've been using both of them ever since they arrived a couple of weeks ago. They both work great. If you like the padded sleeve approach, the ChromeBags.com padded laptop sleeve will be fine. How much does that thing cost? Oh, it comes in different sizes, for depending on the computer that you want. For the 15-inch, let's see, how much does that cost? For purchase info, for the 15-inch, it's $34. So it's a little bit less expensive than the attaché case from Max Upgrades. I give both of these a nice 4 out of 5 for what they do. You can't carry anything else. And for this week, you'll be definitely protecting your laptop with either of these nice cases. The Max Protect 2, $39 for your MacBook Pro or your 15-inch PowerBook. And the padded laptop sleeve from ChromeBags.com. Both highly rated, high quality, attractive, strong, versatile, and they will definitely protect your laptops. Thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast. It's another review you can use that won't make you snooze. John Nemo signing off.
And, of course, we do have our contest to take care of from last week. Our last week's podcast, number 81, we gave away a JanSport.com backpack.
$149 value.
Yep, the JanSport LiveWire Audio Backpack.
It's, you know, it's pretty cool. I've got a JanSport LiveWire backpack. It's what I'm bringing my my PowerBook over here every time.
Yep.
I really dig it. It's a really cool backpack, and it's time to give one away.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to call the number, dial the number, and mm-hmm. you can
yep. announce and the winner. Our winner is Ken Gio, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that right, from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
And we're going to try calling him right now. Hopefully, Keith is home.
Hi, this is Keith. I can't answer my phone right now. Leave me a message. I'll get back to you as soon as I can.
It happened so fast, I got to imagine he is on it right then.
Yeah.
So we're going to wait for a few minutes.
Give him a call back?
Yeah, we'll call him back here in a minute.
All right.
Let's talk a little bit about the big announcement of the week, and that's the new 13-inch MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
Sans Pro.
Yeah.
White.
Goodbye, iBook.
Yeah, white and black.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this not too long ago when we were interviewing Dr. Mac, Bob Levitis.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my concerns was that the Mac, or the iBook at the time, it was just stale and stagnant. It looked the same for 4 years.
Right.
And it really needed something different.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to say that Apple delivered on that.
Sure. I have no idea what the glossy screen is going to look like. I don't know what that means to me right now.
Yeah, you know, I've seen pictures, and it seems like you would see a reflection in it some.
Mm-hmm.
We know what Sergeant Perry thought about it.
Right.
But, I have to see one, and I have mm-hmm. to use one. I like to see what it's like outside. My understanding is...
And that's what I'm interested in seeing.
My yeah. understanding is the glossy screen makes it brighter and makes it easier to use outside.
Mm.
But I'm wondering how many people actually use their computers outside. I don't usually see too many people outside using a computer. I mean, if you're in a park, is that the best place to use your computer? I don't think so. I mean, if you're in a park, enjoy the nature.
Yeah.
Put the stuff away, you know. Turn off your cell phone for a little while. Put the computer away. Mm-hmm. Enjoy nature.
Right.
That's kind of the whole point in going to a park as far as I'm concerned.
But did you see that article? I can't remember where I saw it at, but New York is talking about going...
Wireless.
For
free wireless Central Park.
Yeah.
I don't live in New York, so I don't know how viable that would be or mm-hmm. if that is even desirable for people in New York. But free wireless is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on... I guess it would depend on how many people would actually take advantage of it.
Right.
Are there businesses around Central Park that could use the free wireless? That would be a question. If there's an internet cafe, maybe you can have an outdoor internet cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I have to see the MacBook and see what that glossy screen is all about. Maybe we should plan a trip up to the Apple Store and take a look at these.
Yeah, it's about time. We haven't been there in a while.
Maybe I should contact Apple and we had discussed going there back in January and actually recording a podcast.
Yep.
And I never heard back from them. They were seeking permission, but I never contacted them to follow up either.
Right.
So half of that is my fault because I got lazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even laziness. I just got busy.
Right.
that's still something that we should probably consider, maybe getting up there, working on an agreement with Apple, and doing a podcast from there.
Mm-hmm.
That would give us a perfect opportunity to play with the MacBook. But that's probably going to be sometime in the future, nothing soon. So
right.
I still think we probably need... You know what we could do? We could do an on-the-road podcast.
Yeah.
Actually record the podcast driving up to, for us, Grand Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Probably couldn't record while we were in there looking at it.
No.
And even if we could, I'm not sure what we would use to record on. Camcorder. We can use a camcorder and just steal the audio off of it for the podcast. We could do a video podcast as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that would be a fun show. You know, the whole show would focus around us going up to the Apple Store and looking at... We can actually take a camcorder and just record everything mm-hmm. on that. And then just pull the audio off like it's an audio show, not video.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
I think it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to figure out our schedules and when we could go up there. I think I'm actually free this Sunday, if you are.
I might be. I'll have to check my schedule.
Yeah, and it'd be a bonus podcast for that week.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the light-up keyboard either.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I really do want in a MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
You know, I've got the generation of the PowerBook G4
mm-hmm.
that doesn't have...
The light-up
keyboard, and it's the one thing that I really wish I had. Although, honestly, I don't use my PowerBook in the dark very often.
No.
I use my G5 more in a darkened room than anything,
mm-hmm.
but I've got the 23-inch cinema display that's so bright that I can see my keyboard just fine.
Right.
And to be honest, most of the time I don't need to look at my keyboard to type, but it's still nice to have that on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be quite honest, the MacBooks have the dual-core processors.
Right.
And it's not like the MacBook Pro has a whole lot of advantage over the MacBook that I can see.
Well, not really. Except for the speed bump on the newer ones, but that's still the newer ones if you have an older MacBook.
Yeah, the MacBook also has an integrated graphic chip rather than a graphic card. And that could be big if you want to play games.
Mm-hmm.
But how many people are really playing games on their Macs? And Apple hasn't made machines that are really game-friendly in a long time.
Right.
Not really.
Well, the most games you're going to be playing are more solitaire-based games, I would imagine. I don't think a lot of people are doing a lot of massive multiplayer online role-playing games on their laptops.
Well, some people would. Yeah. You know, like David Avery, for instance, mm-hmm. is big into World of Warcraft right now. And if he had a MacBook Pro, that's what he would be using to play. But the MacBook Pro has a pretty decent graphic card in it.
Mm-hmm.
Could you do that with just a regular MacBook? I don't know.
Yeah.
I read a couple reports online that people were able to watch full-screen, high-def movie content that they downloaded from Apple's trailer site,
mm-hmm.
and it played it just fine. No hiccups, no skips, no nothing, mm-hmm. and it worked great. So, I don't know. It's something I would really like to see Intel develop, if Apple is going to be using these integrated graphic chips, develop that technology a little bit better mm-hmm. than they have so far.
Yep.
We're going to try giving our buddy Keith a call once again. We're probably going to have to leave a message.
Hi, this is Keith. I can't answer my phone right now. Leave me a message.
Yeah, and he's still not there. I think that might be a cell phone because the way it answers so quick.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you go ahead and talk a little bit about something while I look up his phone number online. So what do you want to talk about?
Well, have we talked about the MacBook? I don't know.
Dead silence doesn't work.
No, sorry. No, that doesn't work. Did you see the latest report from Gene Munster? His little comparison of prices?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it was. He did a little comparison of prices for laptop computers and desktop computers, comparing the Macs with three top-end PC systems. And actually, it was pretty impressive. I mean, the Mac actually comes out price-wise probably no more than 10% to 15% higher than your standard PC.
I think I did see a link to. I didn't read the article, but I remember seeing the headline. I don't remember where it was, but
I think it was the Mac Observer that I saw. And the breakdown was pretty interesting in that, you know, he really didn't include... I mean, he included in the Mac, of course, the iLife suite, but, you know, if you buy a PC off the shelf, you don't get any of that software. So if you actually want to do what you on a PC what you'd want to do on what you do with a Mac for your personal use using the iLife suite, I mean, the cost probably is not that much more in the end. So, you got anything?
Maybe. I'm kind of looking. I think it might be this one. Could be. We're going to... I'm sure he didn't give us his regular home phone number because he didn't want to.
Yeah.
That's not it.
Nope.
But we're trying anyway because we want to talk to him.
Keith.
He's listening to the podcast going, yeah, they never got a hold of me.
Nope.
I have his address, so, but I'm not seeing... no, it doesn't look like it.
Nope.
That's too bad. Wait, what's that?
No, no, that's not it.
That's too bad. I really was hoping that we could talk to him.
So anyways, well, Keith, if you've downloaded this tomorrow and you're listening and you heard your...
We're going to leave him a message right now.
All right.
Keith. Hi, this is Keith. I can't answer my phone right now. Leave me a message. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks.
To leave a voice message, press 1 or just wait for the tone. Yeah. To send a numeric page, press 2 now.
Whoa. Beep already.
Come at the on. Tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished recording, you may hang up or press pound for more options.
Hi, Keith. This is Tim Robertson at MyMac.com, the
MyMac.com podcast. This is Chad Perry.
And we've got some to tell you.
Yes, you are our winner for the JanSport LiveWire Audio Backpack.
So congratulations. We were hoping to actually get you on the phone. As you probably know by listening to the show, we like to talk to our winners. And you're not there. And I even looked on the internet to see if I could find your home phone number, because we were determined to call you.
Yep. But alas, you were not to be found.
So congratulations. We will get this shipped out to you as soon as possible. It will probably take about 2 weeks before you get it. But let me know that you get this message. Give me an email at tim@mymac.com. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Keith.
And that's that.
Yep.
Oh, I really was looking forward to talking to the winner. Can't get anybody on the phone today, Chad. What's going on? We can't get our interviewee. We can't get our contest winner.
Well, I think it's National Hamburger Month, and so that may have something
everybody's
to do with
out
it.
Eating.
Yeah, that's, everybody's out getting a good burger.
Yep, I think you're absolutely right. Unfortunately, it happens.
Yep.
It's at least it's not a live show, right?
True, but it's pretty darn close.
So, anyways, that's our show for this week. Next week, I have no idea what we're doing, but we'll do something.
We are going to be talking to Ali Khan Jetha of Market Circle Software.
I'm not even familiar with their programs or what their offerings are, so I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we are always looking for feedback. You can send email to tim@mymac.com, or you can simply call us
at 1-801-938-5559.
And we will play your audio feedback on the podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
Shaking.
Thanks for downloading the MyMac.com podcast. You can subscribe to this podcast at our RSS feed at MyMac.com or by visiting the iTunes Music Store's podcast section. Please send all feedback to MyMacPodcast@gmail.com. And thanks for listening to the MyMac.com podcast.